Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're starting a new series today, and you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. But you ever notice that Jesus says some really crazy things in the Bible? I mean, he really did. I was talking to Pastor about starting this series tonight and Jesus' most confounding statements. And he really did say some off-the-wall things. Can you imagine if you came in here today and I said, hey, listen, if you want to be a part of this church, I just want you to know you have to hate your mom and you have to hate your dad. And if you hate your mom and your dad, you can be a part of the church. Because Jesus said something very similar. If you don't hate your mother and your father, you can't be my disciples. And, you know, imagine if I said this. If you really want to be a part of church, I want you to eat of my body, and I want you to drink of my blood. And we would think that Pastor Brian's gone into cannibalism, zombieism, or something else. And so he really did say some crazy things. And tonight we're going to deal a little bit about this. Why did Jesus teach in parables? And so why are some of Jesus' words so confusing? And so there's a great illustration of this, and I think it kind of leads right into this in Matthew chapter 13. And When you read through this, Jesus spoke in a lot of parables, and it was a very common practice for Jewish teachers to teach in parables, because they would tell it along with something that was going on, and they would give a story about what was going on, and then they would tell the meaning of what they meant by it. So there was a lot of meanings behind things and stories, but they would always tell the meaning of the parable. But Jesus didn't always do that. Jesus would tell a parable and then walk away. And he would just leave them hanging. It's like, what in the world? Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus tell a parable and leave them hanging? And tonight is one of those things. And I'm just going to skip over a few things. I realize I have a lot of notes here. See, Stephanie laughs because Stephanie gets the joy of getting my notes and then putting them in the computer every week. And I think sometimes she wonders, how's he going to get through all this stuff? Anybody who's ever taught class or preached, you know what you do. You do all the studying, then you put all this information together, and then you've got to decide what's relevant and what's not relevant. And even then, you sometimes come up with too much content. You're like, well, I just really can't get rid of that. That's too important. I can't get rid of my joke. They need to laugh. Okay, I don't have a lot of jokes tonight, but that's what parables do. Parables give you a lot of analogies, a lot of great things to tell you an illustration of a story. And so Matthew chapter 13 starts out with a very familiar teaching with parable as Jesus has taught this, and it's the parable of the seed and the sower. And so he walks as this, and he starts out with this idea of the seed and the sower, and it's very familiar because all of the area knew about farming. It was very common to see people going and casting seed, and sowing seed was a very fast way to do it. It's not necessarily the best way. You know, you're not going there putting a finger and putting a seed. They're just casting seed because they're trying to get as much done as possible. So during this custom and during this culture, it was very common to see seed sowers going out and just kind of randomly throwing out seed and hoping it would take. And so he gives a common thing because you'd see the road, and on this road, every area of Israel had fields that were separated by narrow paths for people to walk on. And so this was kind of the road area, and it was packed down. It wasn't very fertile soil. And so it was common to see these seed sowers going around, walking in these little paths on these little things, and some would fall on this, what they would call the road or the path that they were on that was packed down that wouldn't take much root or very much it wouldn't take any seed because it was packed so solid because that's where they walked on. And so it was nothing to see that. It was untilled. It was packed down. It was it prevented the seed from taking root. All it did is lay on the top. It did absolutely no good. And then it was the rocky soil. And this type of soil was not filled with large rocks, but a shallow level of dirt, and so because of that, you would see them where it couldn't take very much root, and the seeds fell, but they couldn't get very deep because all the rocks would actually choke out the seed. And so Jesus has given an analogy that everybody understands, and so If you are in the crowd and Jesus is telling this whole story about the seed and the sower, you're leaning in because you're like, okay, I get that. There's a sower. He's walking along a path. It's packed in. We've all seen that. We've seen people cast seed and it didn't go very far. It looked like it was going to take root. It got choked out. Then there was ground with thorns. We know all about that. There was bushes that were very common to the Israel, and especially in Judah, where large bushes of thorns would come in and they had to come down because they would choke out the plants as they were growing. All familiar. So they're leaning in. Where is he going with this? Where is Jesus going with this idea, this analogy of all of this, the good ground, the road and the thorns? And then he talks about the good soil, and he says there's good soil, productive, alive, and you know, some seed fell on it, it took a great root and it grew a great big plant. And he talks about this, and it was sufficient to support the seed. And so they all knew about that. They know about the reason why they were sowing to begin with is to hit the good soil so that seed would take root and it would come up. But then Jesus did something crazy. He tells this great parable and he walks away. It would be so, can you imagine? I would say, listen, so I was working on a computer today and I was getting in. I lead up to this big story about everything I did, and then I just walked off the stage and left you. And you're like, what in the world is he talking about? He didn't even give any scripture. Yeah. That's kind of what Jesus did. He didn't quote Old Testament prophet. He didn't quote scripture at the time. He gave a very common analogy, a very common paragraph, and he walked away. And even the disciples with him are thinking, Jesus, what in the world are you talking about? And so in verse 10, we're going to pick up. See, I am going to use scripture. So in verse 10, he says, his disciples came to him and asked, why do you use parables when you talk to these people? And they're really asking, why do you use parables and leave it at that? What's the even point if you're just going to leave them hanging like that? I think the whole crowd, all of us that are listening tonight, would begin to wonder why anybody would do that. We would think, this is the worst preacher ever. He left us hanging on something we all knew, and he didn't tell anything. So after the crowds had left, the disciples asked Jesus this great question, why use parables? And the normal format they were basically saying was, you know, the format is to tell a story and then explain it. You didn't do any of that. And so Jesus replies in verse 11, because it's very hard to understand. He said, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. And everybody in here tonight is probably going, why? Isn't that the whole reason why you came? To tell the truth and to let us know? And so what's the purpose of this? You know, you're permitted to know the truth and you're not. When I was grappling through this tonight, the very first thing I thought to myself is, how strange is this? I'm going to do this on Sunday morning, Monday morning, and I walk in and my staff says, why did you do that? That was such a weird, you told this big elaborate story and you walked off. What was the point in that? Well, you know, it's permitted for you to understand, but not everybody on Sunday morning. They don't need to know all that stuff. Jesus, so here's the common practice of Jesus. Jesus reveals the truth and conceals it at the same time. Does that make any sense? It doesn't to me. I think when you're going through this, if you're like, why would you tell the truth, reveal this great big truth, and conceal it at the same time? But this is Jesus' practice. And so he says, he goes on in verse 12, he says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Jesus is kind of pulling to the deal. He says, I want people to really seek. I want them to, if they really want to understand the kingdom of heaven, they're going to have to do more than just show up every once in a while. I want them to dig in. I want them to really listen to what I said. I don't want them to come in and just hear what I'm saying. I want them to listen to what I'm saying. You ever have someone sitting in a room and you tell them everything and they only heard the first thing you said because they heard you, they just didn't listen to you? Yeah, everybody with teenagers is going like this. Yeah, okay. Everybody who has a spouse is going, well, I don't want to meddle or tell them myself. But we all have those moments where you're talking to someone. It's very frustrating. You ever been at work and everybody walks away and the one person comes up to you after you just spent several minutes explaining what you wanted done and they had no idea what you just talked about? Jesus' frustration is in this. He says, if those who really listen to my teaching, they're going to have more understanding. If you're really digging in, you really want to know what's going on, you're going to listen, you're going to study, you're going to say, what is he trying to tell me? What is he going to try to teach me? But those who don't listen, what little understanding they have is going to be gone. They're not even going to understand the simplest things. People who understand will gain greater understanding, but those who don't listen will lose what little understanding they have. I mean, don't you think that's kind of a profound statement? And even in this, even in studying this, I'm hearing Jesus' explanation for doing what he did. And even this, if I'm honest, I'm having trouble tracking with him. Because for me, here he is. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And I understand he wants you to lean in, but he's talking to crowds. And for the crowds that are there, don't you want to do everything? Because as a pastor, I will spend sometimes more time than I need in an altar call because I want everybody to hear and understand and come to the front. But Jesus takes this moment and he pulls away for just a minute and he says, I don't want them just to show up and just say that they attended. I want them to lean in, hear what I'm saying, and follow my commandments. I want them to really push in. If they really want to know what I'm saying, they're gonna push forward. They're going to study more. They're going to hear more. They're going to want to ask questions. Jesus never got upset when people asked sincere questions. But he did get upset when people walked away and didn't hear anything he said. When they walked away and their lives weren't changed, or they walked away like they, can you imagine the other conflicting, confounding statement when the rich man came to him and he says, sell everything you have and follow after me. And he walked away because he had many possessions. Can you imagine? What if Jesus said, listen, sell your boat, sell your cars, sell your land, sell your house and follow after me and you'll be my disciple. And all of a sudden we start thinking, do I really want to lose my house? Do I want to lose all that other stuff? Do I want to do this? And these kinds of things. But when they walked away, they didn't push in like, why are you saying this? What are you meaning? It was disheartening. Verse 13, he says, that is why I use parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They're on the outside. They're kind of looking on the casual, but they don't really want to see. I'm using parables because those people who really want to know what's going on is going to try to dive in a little deeper. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. People who keep hearing but don't understand, they will lose the whole truth is what he's saying. Those who are on the outside, they're hearing, but they're not trying to understand. They don't really try to grasp what I'm telling them. They're going to lose everything. Because I want people who are really going to push in. And how does this translate today? Don't you think it's kind of one of those things that people who just come and just get enough of Jesus, just come on Sunday morning, they don't push in, they don't go to learn disciple, they don't try to push in and learn more about God. They're always the one that are kind of wishy-washy. They're wishy-washy in their attendance. They're wishy-washy in their life. They don't really follow all the commandments. They kind of select what they're going to do and live out in Christianity and what they're not, they don't want to. And what they agree with, they follow. And what they don't agree with or cost them too much, they won't. And so Jesus is weeding through the Sunday morning crowd, if you will, or just the people that are just listening. And he's saying, I want you to engage even deeper. I want you to do more than just show up and enjoy the worship that's around. I want you to do more than just come and say, man, that was really encouraging and inspiring. Man, that really made me feel good. I can go the rest of the day because I feel really encouraged. And there's nothing wrong with that. I hope you get encouraged on Sunday morning. Every time you come and hear the Word of God, I hope that it encourages you. But I also hope it challenges you. If the Word of God never challenges you, you never grow. Nobody ever grows during the times when everything's easy. No one. You grow when you have to really fight, when you really struggle, when there's really a struggle involved, you grow. The times that I learned the most, the times that I endured the most is when I had to push through and push through pain, push through mental anguish, push through heartache. That's when I grew. That's when you grow. But if all we do is come and what we don't agree with, we say, oh, that's okay, I don't have to do that. And we only push through with what we want to and what makes us feel good, then the problem is that we don't really learn anything at all. And so Jesus says, listen, I'm telling the parables because I want them to do more than just come and be entertained by how eloquent or how uneloquent I'm speaking. I want them to push in deeper, seek more, hear more, follow more. And that's the challenge for all of us because we live in a culture that doesn't challenge us. As a matter of fact, we live in a culture that doesn't even challenge us to read. We don't live in a culture that challenges us to try to gain understanding. We live in a culture that just says, just wing it and you'll be fine. And the struggle is that it's hard to get people to push in and want more of God, seek more of God, and desire more of God. And we're doing a whole series on Sunday morning about the Holy Spirit. But how do people push in? Because if it's not easy, they don't want to try it. You know, this is this idea that if you really want something from God, you're going to not only push in, but you're going to tarry. You're going to seek. You're going to really try to get all you can out of it. Anyway, let me get back. Verse 14. He says, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. And when you see what I do, you will not comprehend. People who keep seeing but never perceive, they will lose the whole truth. If you just keep on the outside and that's all you want, if all you want is a surface level feel good moment, you can have that at church, but you will never be what God has called you to be. Here's the thing. Everybody in this room and everybody on a Sunday morning room, God has called you for a purpose. We are called. God has great plans for you. And God has great plans for the kingdom. God wants us, but he needs us to be engaged into his kingdom. There has to be something more. There's going to be sacrifice, and we don't like that word, sacrifice. We have got to raise up. You know, I talked a lot about fathers pushing in and letting their kids and their sons and their daughters see them experience God and be fulfilled by the moving of the Holy Spirit and be a part of that. I think it's really going to take a generation that's willing to sacrifice, push in, and be engaged. We need people. We need more than spectators. We need people that are engaging in the Word of God and engaging in the ministry and being involved in the process. Awesome. Verse 15, he really dives in even deeper because, you know, I'm almost at this point. I'll just say this. After I read verse 15, you'll really get it. But if I was a disciple at this point, I'm starting to regret asking Jesus why he teaches in parables. Because then he goes in and he says, for the hearts of these people are hardened. They have hard hearts. And their ears cannot hear. Why? Because they have hardened hearts. They have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. The whole reason why they don't want to is because they have hardened their hearts. We have a culture that has hardened their hearts to things that aren't comfortable or things that don't tickle or please them. They have hardened their hearts to anything that would require more of them. We are in desperate need of intercessors. We are. We have a generation that is passing away that were prayer warriors. I enjoyed hearing Pastor Thrasher talked about Jatan and how she was the CA director, which is Christ Ambassadors. Basically, she was the youth pastor. And they had a revival and how she invited them to stay at their house, Jan and her mom at their house. And you know what? That was a generation. That was what it was about. It's about seeing the gospel, seeing many people saved to come know and know Jesus because they were pressing in. I want to see a generation change, but how's that happen? It's because we are not just sitting around being entertained, but we are allowing the Word of God and digging into it, and it's getting into us, and we can't help ourselves. We have to share it. The greatest outreach of the church is the people in the church. And the reason why people are and why churches are being poor at outreach into their community is because we are not allowing the Word of God to get into us so it overflows into our community. We've hardened our hearts. And we have allowed ourselves. And so what do we got to do? We have got to allow God to speak and move into our hearts and our lives and let us move beyond a moment of just being entertained on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday or whatever the service may be. And we have got to let the Word of God get in our heart and not just be hearers but be doers of the Word. Be conscious of it, how we treat our family, how we treat our coworkers, how we treat our spouse. We've got to do what the Word says in regards to that. We've got to let God soften our heart and begin to act out what he says. And so that's the whole reason. He says, they can't hear because they don't want to. Sometimes I say things like that. Why, why don't you just tell them what you want? If they wanted to know, they could ask me. Okay, I don't think Jesus looks like me, but I think the principle is the same. He wants them to come. If they really want to learn, they'll come. The last question. So these people who have closed their hearts to the message of God, they will lose the whole truth. This is the judgment on those who will not believe. And so when you hear God's word, do not harden your hearts. You have to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let it do what it can do. Verse 16, he says, but blessed are your eyes to the disciples. And this is where I hope we are. I hope this is where everybody in the room is. Blessed are your eyes because you come on Wednesday night. Not really. That just blesses me. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Because you knew that there was more to my conversation than just a great story about sowing. Blessed are your eyes because you know that I was meaning more behind what I was saying than what just looked like on the surface. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. The reason why you see and you're permitted to see and they're not is because you are leaning in, pressing in to the point where you're willing to ask questions, seek, and go deeper. Because you desire more, you receive more. My mom used to tell my dad this all the time, and he caught on, and it's true for you. You will only get out of service what you put into it. So when you press in and you really want more out of it, and you're diving in and you're trying to understand the word more, and you're diving in it, and you're coming to service and you're worshiping, you will get out of service what you put into it. Most people don't get anything out of service because they don't put anything into it. Most people leave hungry. I tell you, when people say, I don't get fed at church, listen, I've never walked to anybody's house I couldn't eat. No one had to feed me, you know what I'm saying? I realize what they're saying. They're saying, it's just so shallow, I don't get it. Listen, I'm a pastor. I love preaching. I don't listen to music a lot. I really don't. The music I listen to, I wish I didn't have to because my kids control the music radio. But when we go on car trips, they hate it because I listen to either audiobooks or I listen to preaching. That's my playlist. And so I listen to a lot of preaching, and not everything is just blow me over, but I promise you, everything I listen to, I get something out of. Because there's power in the Word of God, and I get something out of it. And so you dive in. So because the disciples are leaning in, he says, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears. You're blessed because you are seeking more because you desire to see more. Then he says in verse 17, I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. But they didn't see it, and they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. And you know what I thought of? I thought, what would the Old Testament prophets, what would have Hosea and Moses and Elijah have done if they would have had the full gospel, the good news that we have? We have heard things that they never heard. They heard things prophesied. They even prophesied things, but they never saw the fruition. We are on the other end of history, and we get to read, and we get to see this living word, and we get to find out how the Messiah that was promised came in the form of a virgin with a baby being born named Jesus, who became the Savior of the world, who died on a cross. We get to see and hear and read about his ascension into heaven, and then how he sent the Holy Spirit to baptize him in Acts chapter 2. We get to see and we get to read through Paul's journeys and Peter, and we get to read through Timothy, and we get to read through John and the Revelations, and we get to see all this stuff. We got access to what they didn't have. What would they have done? Would they have said, oh, that's great stories, or would they have leaned in and asked questions? They studied the word continuously. Matter of fact, the New Testament, I love it because Festus stood up and shouted, you know, that they were studying so much. He said, so much studying has driven you crazy because they were so intent on learning more and growing more in the Word of God. What would happen if we really leaned in? So the truth is blessing to those who believe. The truth is a blessing to those who believe. The gospel is not bad news, it's good news. And so we should want it, we should desire it, and we should desire to share it. Those who see and hear and believe will be blessed. The full blessing of God has come into the world through Jesus. And Jesus came to give understanding to people and a task of ministry. So that's what he's given us. He's given us the ability to push in, to seek in, to have Jesus, and to push between all this. We have the full revelation. And so then Jesus takes this little account, and just to finish the story, and we won't read it whole, I'll paraphrase like I did at the beginning, but the meaning of the parables, and he basically says, there's the unresponsive ear. The first one, the road is like the unresponsive ear. Their hearts are packed, like people's hearts are packed and hardened, and so they don't receive it, and so they're unresponsive, and we have people like that. Do you know how hard it is to preach to a room of hardened hearts? Packed to unresponsive. You know, they don't receive, they don't come, they don't. Listen, I don't need people to shout me down. I just need a good Baptist nod every once in a while. You know, I mean, I just need somebody to say, I'm with you, bro. You know, I just need someone to know they're tracking with it. But just responsive and hearing the Word of God and responding. And responsive is not just always coming to the altar. It means doing what the Word of God says. You hear teaching the night, you may not respond in an altar, but you respond by putting it into action. The best response you can do is even that, is to put what you just heard into your daily living in action. That is absolutely the best response you can. In the moment, sometimes we need that moment and we come to the altar and it does great, but the greatest response is what happens beyond the altar. Are you responding? Is it going in your everyday life? And so even though the word goes forth, it doesn't penetrate your heart, it causes you to be unresponsive. Why? Because you've hardened your hearts. This is what Jesus just talked about. And then he talks about the superficial hearer. It's like the people who have the stones. It just doesn't really go very deep. There's no deep root because it hits the rock. It's like the soil of the limestone bedrock. The response is quick, but the commitment is shallow. We see people like that, don't we? They're quick to respond. Pastor, it was best, but they go out. They don't change their life. They're the people who answer the altar call every week, but they don't change anything in their life after they walk out of the doors. So there's no change. Listen, an emotional change is not a heart change. And we got to understand this because preachers, evangelists, we're really famous for just getting you in the altars. But if all we did is get you in the altar, that was great. But we got to get you beyond that. We've got to get you to heart change. It's in vain if all it is an emotional change. There has to be a heart and an action change. There has to be something beyond that moment. And so they respond quick, but the commitment's shallow. The emotion and excitement is over the newfound faith, and then it changes on the surface, and then down deep, nothing changes. They come on the surface, and they look more excited, but they go home and look at pornography. On the surface, they come up in, and they look like they're really wanting to get involved, but they never really commit anywhere. They look like they're ready to just take heaven with a squirt gun in service, but on the outside, they have a bad attitude and anger, and they blow up at everybody. And then the worldly hearers, they're like the soil with thorns. The response is positive at first, but as the world creeps in, it gets negative and gets choked out by the impact of the world. We see that. A person is more concerned about their wealth and cares more of the world than the work of God. Listen, it means I'll do whatever it takes, but don't take my stuff away. Don't ask me to give up anything. Don't ask me to sacrifice anything. And then the receptive heart. It's like the good soil. The response is given of the word, and they respond well. They do what it says. It's more than just an emotional altar change. It's a life change. They're living it out. They're walking it out. They not only heard the word, they're doers of the word. Everything's different. They're no longer just servants. So Jesus dives in and says, this is what really happening. It's the true peace that's found for believers is because they're really seeking in. They're really pressing in. It's those believers who believe in Christ, but not only that, but there is fruit that show the change of their life. Listen, you are only a true believer when there's fruit that show it. If there's not fruit to show you're a believer, then the truth is we have to challenge your level of commitment. Because a true believer, Jesus said that. You have to have it. So let me close with this. Man, I'm doing good. Listen, I get worried about time too. You know, I know I probably shouldn't. I worry about time more than anybody else, but I want to be conscious of people's time, especially when they come from work. But what kind of listener are you? You know, isn't that the question we should all be asking ourselves? What kind of listener are you? The unresponsive hearer? Those who have hardened hearts, are we the unresponsive here? We just don't even care anymore. We show up because we don't want to lose face, but we don't really care about anything going on. We don't change anything. Nothing ever touches our heart. Nothing moves us. Nothing encourages us. We're just here. Are we the superficial here? Those who gladly accept the word at first, but then when things come on, we easily cast it away because the cost is too great. Are we the worldly here that there's those who accept the gospel and still try to hold on to their old lives? Are we the receptive here? Those who truly believe and receive the word and follow Jesus, the people who are known by their fruit. And what kind of fruit are we producing? Is there no fruit? Where there is no fruit, there is no changed life. Bad fruit, the fruit looks good, but in the end, it's rotten. Nothing worse than that. Biting into fruit that has bugs all in it or worms, and we'll get into some experiences, but they've been there. What do you find out? The fruit's worthless. Nobody bites in and sees a rotten fruit and keeps going. What do? They throw it away. It's worthless. It's worse than having no fruit at all. Because one bad fruit can actually start making the other fruit go bad. Rotten fruit is worse than no fruit. Or do we have good fruit? A life that reveals Christ, continues showing his work, showing his acts. A life that shares the gospel, the good news. And every Christian must do that. We've got to produce good fruit. So is that what we are doing? Are we believers that are showing and producing good fruit? Or are we just going through the motions? See, in these confounding moments, we're gonna take, I think I've chosen four statements out of Jesus outside of this one, but we're going to take these things that Jesus did, but there's a lot of things that Jesus did that doesn't make a lot of sense, and here's one of them. So many times we're going to find where Jesus throws out something just to see if people will lean in, push harder, and want more. Do you know, I can't tell you if it's a good father thing or not, but I can tell you this. Sometimes I'll have something good for my kids, but I'll throw out a question or something just to see if they want to go. Like, I'll see if they want to go hang out or do something, knowing that I'm going to go get them something they really want. If they show up, I go get them. And if they don't show up, I never told them. And they miss out on ultimately what they could have had that they wanted all along if they would have just answered the call. I thought about that one day, and I thought, I wonder how many times God does that. He says, listen, I've got something great for you. I just want to see if you want to be with me. I just want to see if you want to hang out. I want to see if you really do care or if you're just too preoccupied with the other stuff. And I think about what we miss out on a regular basis all because we won't push in and lean in deeper. Sunday mornings, we've been teaching the Holy Spirit and we've been doing a whole series, and I sincerely ask you to pray, and I want you to continue praying. We're going to go, I just told Stephanie that I'm probably going to go through the whole summer, do this all the way through July, because it's needed. And I want to see the Holy Spirit move and act in men and women's life. I don't want it to be an event that students and kids experience at camp. I want it to be a way of life for us. We're an Assembly of God church. We want to see God move. We want to see the Holy Spirit move in the lives of believers. And we believe in it. And so how do we do that? The first thing we do is we need people to lean in. Get the word of God in them. Press in. Seek God. Pray more. Seek God. I think that what if we had to, for every minute we spent reading our Bible, we could finally get on Facebook or Instagram or something. Boy, we would really lose our social media life, wouldn't we? Because what if we couldn't turn on and watch the news? I mean, I don't know what you watch. I don't know who knows? I'm not even going to suggest. I'll just get myself in trouble. But I think that's, what if we pressed in and we challenged ourselves? God, I'm not going to turn on the TV until I spend time with you. God, I'm not going to open up and see what anybody has to say on Facebook. Because you know what? During the summer, you just get depressed. Because you look at everybody else's life and you think they got a better vacation life than you. They have a better life. They're buying more things than you. They got a pool and you don't have a pool. They're on the beach and you're not on the beach and you wanted to be on the beach. And why can't you go on vacation? Everybody else is on vacation. Listen, Instagram is a lie. It's a filtered life. You're looking, you don't know they're arguing the whole time and they're fighting. And they're putting everything on credit cards, and when they get home, they got to pay for it. You don't know that. You're just looking and saying, everybody else gets to go on vacation. We can't go now because we're broke. You know? I mean, I'm sorry. Y'all don't have those fights. That's good. I'm glad for you. May the Lord bless you and keep his face on you and, you know, give you peace. I think that's it. You know, what if we spent more time? You know, if instead of looking through a filter of the Instagram, if you looked everything through filter of the scriptures and see what God says to you, because he has a lot more to speak to you than what that blog does, than what that social media does, and what that news does. If you can start your day off every day, and start wherever you are. There's people in here that have already been doing it. Read more. If you're reading a few verses, read a chapter. If you're not reading at all, read a few verses. If you don't know anything else, get our book back there. We put out a devotion every quarter that you can pick up. It's simple. You read a few scriptures. You follow along. It's somewhere. Start somewhere. But if that's all you're doing, go deeper. Wherever you are, take it a notch up. Just like running. If you've never run, don't run 3 miles. You know? Walk. But if you're running 3 miles, run 4. Run 5. Same way in the scripture. Dive in deeper. Press in deeper. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to dive in deeper. So before you leave, I want you to spend time praying. And here's what I want you to do. God, just like these parables, there's a lot of things in the scriptures that I don't understand. And I'll tell you, as a pastor for 24 years, we've been in ministry full 24 years, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I'm learning all the time. But I would say, God, there's a lot of things that I still want to understand. Help me to understand. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, when I become unattentive, cause me to lean in anyway. And cause me to dive in deeper. So pray for that, because I promise you, if we as a body of believers will lean in and seek more of God, the end result is this church is going to grow like fire. Disciple, a foundation of discipleship will grow people to the point where they can't help but share their faith.